We were studying about getting free in our minds. Actually, when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit in the garden that opened them up to the knowledge of good and evil, what it did is it put, it took God out of being in charge of their minds. And they began to make their own decisions. They began to have to try to figure everything out. And we're still in that situation, except now that we're in Christ, by the renewing of the word and by getting in his presence and studying the word of God and hearing teaching and walking this out and growing in Christ, we're actually being restored to the mind of Christ, to having the mind of Christ. And that's where the rest is. That's where that peace is that passes all understanding. It's where God is so in charge that people can't even understand, you know, what he's doing and what's going on. But you know that he's in charge. And then he takes over and your life begins to look different. Things in your life begin to line up. Where before you didn't have an idea how to get through a problem, now when a problem hits, no matter how big it is, you learn to go to the Lord. You learn to go to the Holy Spirit. And you don't even make a decision. Never make a decision in the middle of a bunch of torment. In the middle of a lot of confusion, never make a decision. Just say, I don't have peace about it yet. I remember when my son was at NIH and they wanted us to do some tests to prove that something they said that he had was in our family line. And I knew he didn't have it. God told me he didn't have it. I knew he didn't have it. And I didn't want those kind of tests. I didn't want the kind of tests for certain reasons. Supposedly they can tell what he's ever going to have in his whole life with these real detailed tests that they do in research. And so I didn't want any of that. So they really pressured us. I mean, they put us all day long. We stayed in this little hospital room, having to sit on hospital beds while they rushed around doing tests and things. And when it was about 20 minutes to close, we'd been there since like 7 in the morning, and it was like 6 o'clock at night. And they began to really pressure us to sign these papers to give them permission to do these tests. And I didn't feel comfortable about it. And I really felt the Lord told me, you know, don't sign anything. Well, my husband, he wanted to sign the papers just to get out of there. And so there came this conflict. So when the doctor couldn't convince me to sign the papers, then they sent in a nurse. And she started badgering me about, you know, I need to do this for my son and all this kind of thing. And they ended up sending about 3 people. And I finally, and my husband said he would not sign unless I would sign, that he was only going to do what we were in agreement with. So then they went to my son, who at the time was only 12 years old, and tried to get him to sign. And here's what he said. He goes, I'm not signing even if both of them sign. And so finally, the pressure was just there. And I finally said to them, I said, I never make a decision under pressure like this. I said, he's been sick for, who knows, by then at least 5 or 6 years. 1 or 2 more weeks is not going to make a difference. And I don't have any peace about signing those papers. And until I hear from God, I'm not signing anything. To which they write down, you're a fanatic, and they try to take your rights to being a parent from you. But God had given me a lot of warning about what to say and how to do it. So anyway, but there was all this pressure to sign those papers. And I just want to encourage you. You need to get a relationship with God where he is in charge of your life. And you can talk with him and he reveals things to you. And you don't want to open your mind up to the enemy to speak to you. A lot of people have their minds open up. They think it's God, but it's the enemy. How do you know the difference? Well, one of the things you'll know by the fruit in your life, if you're hearing from God, there's going to be a lot of peace in your life. There's going to be joy in your life. You're going to see your flesh crucified. You're going to see that you're changing. But not only will you see that you're changing, other people will see that you're changing. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, long-suffering, and patience. And I encourage you to only want the voice of the Lord. Don't want an easy voice to follow. Don't want to hear it from an easy voice. I want to hear from the voice of the Lord that lines up with his word and his character and brings peace to my soul and not confusion. Okay, because there's a lot of voices talking to us, trying to imitate the Lord. And I talk to so many people who are so bound to the enemy, and they think they have this awesome relationship with God, and yet their lives are full of sin. If your life is full of sin, you do not have a strong relationship with God. So admit it, so that God can begin to change your life. Because that's what he wants to do. So let's look at this teaching we started. This series will come out in a couple weeks. Father, we just come before you. And Lord, we just take authority over the spirit of reasoning that would try to torment your people, Lord, and cause them not to be able to hear what the Spirit's saying tonight. And Lord, that you would teach them how to cast down imaginations. Lord, that you would teach them by your Holy Spirit, Lord, how to hear you. And we just ask that in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And Father, we just take authority over everything of the enemy. Every deceiving spirit, we just bind it right now in the name of Jesus. It has no authority in this place. We thank you, Jesus, that you are Lord in this place. We thank you, Lord, that you are the true priest of this house. And we just give you praise for all that you are in Jesus' name. We are in Romans 8. Anyway, we talked about last time that within us, there's a constant struggle before we really surrender to Christ to want to do what's right and want to do what's good, but something in us causes us to do evil. That's why we're here. We're here to get free. We're here to get deliverance from that which in us wants us to do evil. And Paul is speaking to Christians here. But he's back and forth saying how difficult it is. You know, when you get the tape on this one, how difficult it is. You say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And then you do the very thing you don't want to do. And then you say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. And then you don't do the very thing you wanted to do. And Paul gets to this place of saying, oh, wretched man that I am, is there an answer? And then he gives the answer. The answer is Christ Jesus. The answer is surrendering to Christ. And that means our minds, our bodies, everything. We've talked about this for the last couple of weeks. Just a total surrender. So let's see what it says in chapter 8. Now look, we'll go 25 first, 7:25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself with the mind, now look at this, with the mind truly serve the law of God and with the flesh the law of sin. So my mind is serving God's spiritual law. I want my mind to submit to the Holy Spirit. I want my mind to line up with who God is. And I understand that my flesh wants to serve the law of sin and death. This is a constant battle, according to the Word of God. When you look at Paul, he says, he daily crucifies the flesh. Now, there's areas where we get free from blatant sin issues that I don't believe you constantly battle it. I believe you find out what the lie is, you get the lie turned around, you cast a demon out or whatever, and you actually do not care about that sin anymore. But the flesh is constantly warring day to day whether you're going to make it submit to the Spirit or not. So I was asking the Lord today, what is the flesh? I looked it up in the Strong's. It didn't help me out much. It just said another word for self, another word for being a human. And then it just kind of came into my spirit, into my mind. The flesh, when we're looking at Romans here in the flesh, we are talking about the human nature without God. The things you do, even if you didn't know God. Not necessarily the sinful or demonic things. In other words, if just the day-to-day things that try to lead you to be worldly or be fleshy instead of to be spiritual. Now, when we preach this and when I'm looking at this and when I'm praying about it in my own life, what we don't want is legalism. In other words, we don't want rules that we are following to try to please God. So I want to understand how to crucify the flesh. That's not a work of the flesh. In other words, Holy Spirit, teach me how to surrender to you in such a way that by grace, My flesh doesn't do what it would do if I didn't know you. But by grace, my flesh is going to cooperate with you and do what you want it to do. And I want to get to such a place where, God has crucified the flesh, and as far as blatant sin issues, I believe they're gone in my life. Thank you, Jesus. But I want the Lord to be in, to get to such a place where my flesh does not rule what I eat. But I don't want bondage to rule what I eat. In other words, the scriptures about watch out in the last days are going to tell you, they're going to forbid you for eating certain things. And it says this is not a doctrine of God. So, and you see a lot of that. But I want to get to a place where my flesh is so dead to self and caught up in the spirit that I just flow along with what God wants for me to do and in all my activities. And I believe God can get us there. I believe if we try to get us there, once again, it's legalism. And it'll bring death. It'll put us right back. You know what? When we try to get us there, you'll do what he was talking about. You'll constantly fail and recognize that you failed. How many can say amen to that one? But if God gets us there, it's like everything else he's done in our life or changed in our life. It's all about him. So let's see if Romans will give us some indicator of how to pray and how to cry out for the Spirit to do this work in us. Okay. It says, so then I myself with the mind truly serve the law of God, and with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Now everybody always says that part, but they don't say the rest of it. So let's look at all of it. There is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to flesh, but according to the Spirit. Well, I hate to tell you this. That means if you're walking after the flesh, there is condemnation. You're going to live under condemnation. You're going to live with the devil telling you how messed up you are. You're going to live with the devil threatening to take you to hell. Because you're letting your flesh still serve the enemy instead of getting your flesh under the Spirit. So there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus to those who choose to walk according to the Spirit. How do we do this? Some of the ways that I can tell you, just from studying the Bible and just from my walk with God, how do we begin to get out of this place of the flesh being in charge? The flesh is your human nature being in charge. I want to do this. I want to eat this. I want to go there. I want to watch this on TV. I don't want to do this. I want to do that. Wah, 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 wah. I'm not talking about sin stuff. I'm talking about it being in charge, which can affect your health. It can affect you getting the call on your life. It can affect you doing the things God has for you to do. So some of the things we know, the Bible says we're to pray in the Holy Spirit. So we need to begin to cry out for God to saturate us with the Spirit, baptize us in the Spirit, fill us with his Spirit so that we can spend time speaking in the Holy Spirit. Because when you speak in the Holy Spirit, according to the Word of God, your mind, your fleshy mind, isn't operating. And you can fill yourself up with the Holy Spirit. I think another thing is prayer. Actually praying for something that's not about you. Praying prayers about asking the Lord, asking the Holy Spirit to help you, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal himself to you. And of course, Bible study, really getting in the Word with very specific questions, very specific things you're seeking from God, and begin to make that such a part of your life. To make my flesh behave, I'm giving up. I shouldn't even tell you, because then if I mess up, don't anybody tempt me. I'm giving up sugar for a month at least, for 1 month, and TV completely. I don't watch that much TV anyway, so it won't be that hard. But when I sat there, I was writing the paper. I had it pretty nice. I had my laptop with like the letters on number 22, so they're really big. I had that back here. And then I had another keyboard hooked into it, so it's easier to type. I got that sitting here. I got the TV watching Deal No Deal, and I wrote an article. I sat there and I wrote an article for the internet, for our website. I thought, man, this is too good of a life. I'm just sitting here laid back watching this big print go on there. Anyway, and I thought, okay, Lord, you know, maybe I ought to turn on some praise music. It's a good article, though. But Anyway, I just want to decide, okay, I should be praying that this cold doesn't overtake me. And instead, I'm doing mindless things because my flesh honestly sat there and said, I don't want to do anything else. And I gave into it. I let it win. And then, boom. So it would have been definitely worth it to get out of the flesh and into the spirit and fought this cold, because I've done that many times before and I've won. So anyway, so know this, your flesh is not going to want to read the Bible. Your flesh is not going to want to take time worshiping God, listening to praise music. Your flesh is not going to want to speak in tongues. Your flesh is not going to want to serve other people. And so these are the things that God wants you to rise up and take authority over and ask Him to help you with. But He does not have a magic, He's got supernatural power, but there's not a magic wand that He binks you with and says, okay, now you're going to do all these spiritual things. You have a choice. If you didn't read the Bible this week, you made that choice. And if you're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come and make you read the Bible, you don't understand. That's not how it works. And you are living after the flesh if you're not choosing to go after the Spirit. Now, the minute you make the choice to read the Bible and invite the Holy Spirit to come and help you understand it, He's right there.